Hey, I have a quick word for you this morning. Dave has some Bibles if you want to need a Bible, but I feel like I should share it with you. As Maddie was saying, it is real, and God has spoken over us as a church years ago that we go where people don't go, and the needy goes. So this is part of an answer, part of a fulfillment of that word of prophecy that was given over us as a church. But I'd like you to open up to Luke chapter 1 and verse 74. And we're going to look at a prophecy, a song. It was given in song by a man named Zechariah. We are at this time of year where we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. And as part of that, there is woven into the birth of Jesus the story of the birth of John the Baptist. They were cousins, and it is part of this larger story that's going on, and Jesus being born and John's role that he would play in the life and ministry of Jesus. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 74. Luke 1:74. Anybody like to read that for us?
That we be delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear.
All right, thanks for reading that. And this is, like I said, part of a prophecy, part of a song, a prophetic song that Zechariah was singing. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And if you know the story, Zechariah was a priest in the temple serving God, and an angel appeared to him, the angel Gabriel, appeared to Zechariah, and he told him that his wife, who I guess was along in years, Elizabeth, was going to bear a child. And he didn't believe what the angel said, and so the angel made him mute for the whole time that his wife was going to be pregnant. And so Zechariah, who was faithful in serving the Lord, but had a little trouble believing something that impossible was going to happen, we probably would have all been in the same boat with him. All right? And so he was mute for 9 months. And once his son was born, he was able to speak again, and he began to sing a prophecy. And that's what this is from. And as he's singing this prophecy, the first part of it talks about who Jesus is going to be. The second part talks about who John the Baptist is going to be, and what this is all going to mean for them as a people, as a nation. And so this one line from his prophecy, I wanted to just focus on that one thing that he says. There's three parts of it that I want you to hear from this one line. And if we can get through these three parts, we've done good today. And that's this: God has delivered us. We dwell in safety so that we can serve him without fear. And every part of that is an important part of the story of Jesus. Every part of that is a descriptor of what it means for Jesus to come, what it means for Jesus to be born, and for him to be the person that he was chosen, that he was anointed, and that he was obedient in being. That part of the ministry of Jesus, the first part is God has delivered us. He's prophesying a deliverance over the people of Israel. And I want you to think about that for a second, what that means as it was fleshed out, as it was lived out in the ministry of Jesus. You read through the Gospels, and as you know, last year we did a few of us met after our speaker was here for our conference that year, and we began to just pour through the Gospels and look at every time Jesus healed somebody or delivered them. And so it took us months to do it. We'd meet once a week, we'd go through it for an hour, and then we'd meet again, and just going through and taking notes on every time Jesus would pray over somebody, every time Jesus would speak over somebody, every time somebody was healed or delivered at the hand of Jesus. It takes a long time to go through that. Because his ministry, his life, the account that we have in the Gospels is filled with people being delivered and healed. That's what he does. He is all about setting people free. Whether it's physical, spiritual, whatever the bondage, whatever the limitation, whatever it is that the person has or is going through, he is all about setting us free. He delivers. He delivers us from the work of the enemy. He delivers us from sickness and disease. He delivers us from lies. He delivers us from bondages in our minds and our heart. And the thing about him doing this is that it was said he would do it. There was a covenant made, you know, hundreds of years before, thousands of years before. There were covenants made where God spoke and he said, this is going to happen. You go all the way back to Abraham. You go all the way even before Abraham. But I think of Abraham and how God spoke to Abraham, through your seed, the whole world will be blessed. There's a reason why the genealogies in the beginning of Matthew and Luke go back to certain places. Matthew, it goes back to Abraham. There's a reason for that, because of that prophecy that God spoke. And he spoke this to Abraham. And he said, through your seed, the whole world will be blessed. That seed, it ends in Jesus. That genealogy in Matthew. Because it's through him that we would all be blessed, the whole world. And that was a covenant that God was making with Abraham. It was like, this is what is going to happen. It was a covenant of faith. It was a covenant where God one-sidedly said to Abraham, it was like, this is what I'm going to do. And it was fulfilled. And it's inescapable to take apart somehow the birth of Jesus from the fulfillment of that. And these covenants that God made all throughout the Old Testament are fulfilled in whom Jesus is. Whether you look at Jeremiah 31:31, an awesome place where God's talking about a new covenant that he's going to make with us, not like the old, because the old was broken by us. We couldn't keep it. It's verse Jeremiah 31:32, we couldn't keep the covenant. It's been broken. And so he gives us a new covenant. And it leads us to this place where we dwell in safety. Up in verse 69 of Luke here, it talks about the horn of salvation. That word horn, it means strength. It represents strength. That we have a strength in our salvation. That Ezekiel 29:21 says that a horn of salvation will spring up. It doesn't come slowly, but that horn, that strength of salvation, it springs up in our life. It's real and it's powerful. It's a strength that we don't have in ourselves, but one that God brings into our life. Part of our salvation is to strengthen us. God is not saving us. God is not preserving us. God is not healing us and delivering us so that we would be weak, but he does it so that we'll be strong. Those parts of us that are weak, they become our strength. How? Through him. Through his work, through his deliverance, through the work that he does in us and through us. Even that which he won't take from us, like Paul with that thorn in the flesh, when he said, you know, deliver me from this. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, you're made, my strength is made perfect. In other words, even in our weaknesses, even the little things that are still there that God allows in our life, he makes us strong through. You're supposed to be strong. I'm supposed to be strong. In him, maybe not in my strength, maybe not in what I can physically do, but in him, he has done all of these things, delivered us, and brought us to a place of safety so that we can be strong in him. As part of what his salvation is, a horn of salvation, a strength that springs up in our lives. He assures us in Jeremiah 31, I am your God and you are mine. And what's the last word on this so we can serve him without fear? And this is all I want to end with. This is a real relationship that God has for us. This is that word so that, I don't know what your Bible says, but that word so that, it indicates a definite end to which the covenant points. Everything that was before that, coming down to that point, so that, this is the definite end to which the covenant points, so that we serve without fear. We obey, we worship, we forgive. God remembers no more. We have no fear of death, spiritual enemies. We have hope. Hope of life. Luke we can serve without fear. I want you to think about this. And I, the only reason I gave you this quick word is I just want you to think about this as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I know he's a little baby, and we celebrate his birth, and a little 6.8-pound baby Jesus. I know, it's awesome. And it's good. But it can't be separated from bigger truths in our life. That yes, he was born physically. It's miraculous, and there's a miraculous story around him being born. But part of that miraculous story is also our story. It's also the story of our lives, the story of what God is doing in us, and what that means to us. That we're not just celebrating the birth of another child, we're celebrating life, we're celebrating deliverance, we're celebrating healing, wholeness, we're celebrating a life of strength, we're celebrating a life where we don't need to live in fear. The fact of the matter was, we broke the old covenant and people were afraid. The fact of the matter now is we have a new covenant and God loves us and he's pouring that love on us. And he wants us to live in that love and that grace and that mercy that he's given. That is the fact of the matter. And that is a reason for celebration. That is a reason for us to stand up and to celebrate who God is and what he's done and who he wants to be in our lives. If we'll let him. If you'll let him, if I'll let him, if we'll invite him in. And so I want to leave you with that. Let's invite him in. Let's invite him in. Let him be strength. Let his salvation be strength in your life. Let him be deliverance. Let him be healing over your life. Let him speak to the bondages that are in your mind or in your heart or the physical things that keep you in bondage. Let him speak to those things. Because he's all about setting you free. Let him speak to your fear. Let him speak to your fear. Let him pour in his perfect love and cast that fear out of your life. All that I just said was prophesied hundreds of years before it even showed up. Everything I just said was prophesied, some of it thousands of years before he was born in Bethlehem. It was part of God's plan then, through the thousands, hundreds of years before his birth, and it's part of his plan now, thousands of years after his birth, for you and for me. This was set in motion a long time ago, made available to you right here and right now. I'd like you to, where you're seated, just bow your heads with me for a second. I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray for each one of us that's here, and I pray that Jesus would just be real. Right here and right now, that Jesus would break into our daily, day after day routine. That we'd allow him to break right in and just be real to us. I pray deliverance over people today. I pray you just set some people free. The things that are in their heart, things that are in their mind, the work of the enemy, and it's just been just hammering away at people. I just pray a stopping to that in the name of Jesus. I pray a breaking of that work of the enemy over people's minds and hearts, and I pray a freedom and a deliverance in Jesus' name. That would just stop. The lies would stop. The lies would stop. In Jesus' name. You're a God who sets us free from our physical bondages. So God, we just pray freedom from physical bondages today. In Jesus' name. There be a breaking in minds, hearts, lives. In Jesus' name. God, we receive your wholeness and your healing. Your perfect love that casts out all fear. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. It's through by saying amen.
Amen.